you. You're not even hearing it.
So there are two dimensions of what? Grace. Number one, there's what we call grace to you. This is the grace that arrives. It can also depart. I can impart on you. You can pray for it. The sustaining grace can be imparted on you. Okay? The empowering grace can arrive, can also depart. That's why there are people who said, these things were moving well. Things began to open. All of a sudden, they're no longer moving well. It might have departed. Because grace can arrive and grace can depart. So there is grace to you, and then there is grace what? With you. Now, let me just show you a scripture quickly. All right. I remember the scripture. Let's go to the book of Romans 1 verse 7. What does it say?
To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, God to be sent, grace to you and peace from God our Father.
Grace to who?
To you.
All right, so this is grace to you. This is the grace that arrives. Paul is sending this grace like a letter. I can send grace to my mother. I can send grace to my business. I can send grace to a particular congregation. I can actually send it. So Paul says grace to you. He's sending it. This grace can arrive. It was not there. Paul is sending it there. The people Paul is writing a letter to, they are already born again. They are already saved. They have got already the foundation of what? Grace. But the grace he's sending, it is the empowering grace. If you continue reading what he's talking about, he's saying that you have the ability to stand and to do what their abilities could not do. This is not for salvation now. This is the empowering what? Grace. But he is sending it. I'm trying to talk to somebody. So I can speak grace to you. I can send grace to my mother, to my father. I can send grace to someone I know, to my sister. I can say, I speak grace to her. Grace can start off from where I am and fly and even go to my sister. And all of a sudden, she can be shocked. Things are happening. And she'll be shocked. What happened? Grace was sent because you can speak it to go somewhere. You can send it into your family. You can command it into your business. Somebody say, grace to me. Oh my God. Let's open another scripture. Galatians 1 verse 3. What does it say?
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Again?
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace to who?
Grace to you.
Ephesians 1, 2.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
So you can see so many places where grace is being given a direction. So you can speak grace to someone you know. Can you send the grace right now? Yes. Now, don't mention where it's going. Just say, I'm sending grace. I love being here. So for us to understand the abundant grace, you must understand the two dimensions of grace. There is grace that can arrive. This grace that arrives, it can also depart. I have seen people who God was using, he is no longer using them. The anointing is still there, but the grace to activate the gifting is no longer there. They have got a gift. They are still men of God. But the grace of giving, of empowering them to do what they were doing, the achievements they were achieving, is no longer there. Because this grace can come, it can also what? Depart. So the first dimension is grace to you. Raise up your hand and say, Father, I pray. Grace to me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say again, grace to me. Hallelujah. So this is the grace of arrival. And then we have what is known as grace with. Hey. Are you seeing the difference? Yes. Grace to and grace with. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 23, what does it say? It doesn't say grace to you. It says what?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Do you understand that? This is with. Now, what is the difference? The difference is the other grace arrives. Well, this one is the abiding. It stays. So there's a dimension where grace can be sent to you, but it is your responsibility to keep that grace to be with you. So area, Paul sends the grace to them, but he's no longer praying that grace to go to them. He's now saying that grace should be with, because it's possible you can lose it.
I'm trying to talk to somebody.
So grace, I can say, give me this phone. Give me this phone. All right. So phone, I've given the phone to, I'm giving this phone to you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Now, after doing this, Paul says, I now pray that that phone should be with him. Because he can lose it. Someone can take it out. So he says, I pray. So there are two dimensions. Grace to you, where grace comes. So if I pray for you, grace can come upon you. But to you maintain it is you, your responsibility. It demands prayer. That's why there are people who say, but Papa prayed for me. Oh, no. Now you must understand this. It can come to you, but it has to stay with you. Say, grace with me.
Grace with me.
2 Timothy 4, verse 22.
The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen.
Is it saying to you? Is it saying to you?
With you.
Philemon 1, verse 25. What does it say? I want you to read it.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Now, I want you to understand something here. Now, wherever Paul is starting with the book, he says, grace to you. When he's ending it, he says, grace with you. It's not just coincidence. He understands, I have already released the grace to you, but as I'm ending now, this grace I have released to you must stay with you. The most difficult part is to keep the grace. Not of salvation. Of course, of salvation too, people lose it. There are so many people who are saved and they're no longer saved. The Bible says it's so difficult to fall in the hands of God and to come back. It's so difficult. People can also lose that salvation grace. So if people can lose salvation or grace, what more? Sustaining grace. What more? Empowering grace. What more? Warfare grace. What more? Transformational grace. You can lose it. So the fact you're in church, it must not deceive you. Some in church, you know, a lot is happening. Along the course, there are things you are losing and there are things you are gaining. That's why the Bible says be vigilant. That's why the Bible says watch and pray. Don't just be praying, be watching. To watch, it means to have spiritual intelligence. Understand what's happening around. There are some of you have lost some graces. You can't even know it. You can't even pick it. You're just living like this. Amen, hallelujah, amen. There's a grace you lost. You need the restoration of the grace. Check around. There are certain things were happening. And certain things, you are losing some grace. And you can't even pick it. You were transformed before. You would pray. You would fast. It's gone. The transformational grace is gone. You can't even pick it. You had the empowering grace to run things and to do things. It's gone. That's why intelligence in the prophetic becomes very important. Grace to, grace with. Now, when you understand the two-dimensional graces, then you begin to understand now the volumes of the grace. You begin to know that the grace is there, but not in its fullness, which is the abundant grace. So the abundant grace is the grace where you now know it is the same sufficient grace. When Paul was in trouble, God didn't send angels. God simply said, the grace upon you is sufficient. The word sufficient means more than enough to handle your battles, what you are facing. You have got grace in abundance. So God simply said the grace upon you is abundant. Like imagine people fighting major one. God says, don't worry. The grace upon you is what? Abundant. Meaning it will handle. The grace upon you will be able to handle your battle. It will take you out if there's a financial crisis. The grace upon you is more than enough. And that's the problem where people have. So Paul was praying for God to answer. The grace was not yet abundant. The Bible says until God said the grace upon you is what? Sufficient. But what brought in the sufficient grace according to scripture? It says he prayed for 3 times. I'm trying to talk to somebody. What brought the sufficient grace? He prayed for 3 times until God said now the grace is sufficient. The first time he prayed, God didn't say the grace is sufficient. The second time he prayed, God didn't say the grace is sufficient. The third time, the Bible says, now the grace is sufficient. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about the thorn in your flesh. The grace is sufficient. So what brings sufficiency? Prayer. Prayer. We can pray the grace. We can invite the grace because grace can be imparted. We need sufficient grace. We need abundant grace. In Romans 5 verse 17, the Bible says it. It says what?
For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through that one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Again?
For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
I want you to read together. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go, read.
For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
This is not the grace that deletes your sin, but it is the grace that deletes your limitations. It is the grace that gives you ability to start ruling. Do you know I have been saying this before. Do you know there are so many people who are not ruling? You can't say you are in charge if you are able to say in the name of Jesus Christ, let this change, and nothing is changing. You are not yet ruling. But the Bible says for you to rule, you need grace. And the grace to rule, it must be abundant. And the Bible says it does not come like the way it came of salvation. It says it comes like a gift. So God can give you a gift of the abundant grace. So the Bible said the gift of righteousness. Not righteousness, but the gift of righteousness. So if you look at Abraham, Abraham was given a gift of righteousness. So grace can be given to you as a gift. You can start operating on a gift, and it says abundant. Paul prayed and God was quiet. Second time God was quiet. The third time God said, now, here it is, sufficient grace. So it was upon him as a gift. God can give you as a gift. You can pray it out. And you see that you've got grace. Some of you got grace. Things are happening, you know, slowly. It looks like there are, you know, positivity and some signs that things are happening. But I can promise you, if there can be abundant grace, things will change. The speed, the results, how things will happen. Once that, you know, at least you have got a sign that there is a grace, this thing is happening. What more? There is an abundance of grace. And that's what the Bible is saying. Now, read again that scripture. Read again.
For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness.
It's a question, right?
Who reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Are you understanding? You never forget those two dimensions. Grace to, grace with. It's either you have the grace with you. You can lose it. Peter had the grace. God gave him grace. Different grace. Do you understand that when Jesus Christ came and people were in the boat, I mean, people were fishing. Do you understand there were so many fishermen? But Jesus went to whose boat? Peter's boat. That takes you to the second activation of the abundant grace. The first one is prayer. The second one is giving. Nobody should lie to you. Should hear it from me. Giving is so powerful to activate abundant grace. Not of salvation. Jesus already gave his life. You do not need to give. You don't. He already gave his life in fullness. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
But let's look at this. Jesus comes at a place where there are so many fishermen. And one man gives Jesus his boat. He says, use my boat to be preaching. The one who gave the boat, Jesus used his boat to preach. You must understand that Jesus Christ came there in the morning. And these people had tried to fish the whole night. They caught nothing. At this hour in the morning, fishermen are supposed to go home. But Jesus walks into the boat and starts a sermon of 3 to 4 hours, preaching using his boat. And the man is waiting there that Jesus should use his boat. After Jesus used the boat, what happened? Jesus said, who gave me this boat? They said, this guy. He said, okay, now, you gave me this boat? Yes, now, take the same boat, go into the deeper waters. And he caught fish. That catching fish, it was the grace. Are you hearing me? How many people were there? How many fishermen? But how many had a miracle? That is the meaning of grace. Grace means out of many, I am chosen. That's the meaning of grace. Can you imagine a lot of people are there? Can you imagine there are so many companies and only your company has taken it? What is that? That's what we're talking about. The one who gave the boat is the one who what? Who had the grace. So there are things that, as I said earlier, grace, you cannot do something to get it. You cannot get grace by what you do of salvation. I've told you already, that one is for salvation. You can't. That is foundational grace, salvational grace. Jesus did it. Are you understanding? However, they are empowering grace. They are what you call what? Warfare grace. You have to fight. How would you win a battle if you didn't pray? You tell me, the same prison, James was killed. The following day, Peter gets in the same prison and the people prayed and Peter walks out. You tell me, what is that? Others are dying and you have survived. What do you call that? Grace. But how did it come upon Peter? Prayer. The Bible says the church prayed. So there is a grace that is released by what you do. And there is grace which comes on you by what Jesus did. So the one of salvation is what Jesus did. The one of Peter to walk out is what prayer people did. He had grace to survive where others died. So Peter, only Peter, out of the multitude of fishermen, gets a miracle. The Bible says even the boat could not handle the fish. The amount of fish that came into Peter's boat, he could not handle it. Why? It was an abundant miracle, an abundant grace. He caught fish in abundance. But however, he also gave the whole boat. Now, this is why, when you read your Bible, I don't know if you have your Bible, or we're going to use mine. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 6 to 8, what does it say?
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Say amen. Amen. Verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound towards you.
Ah, now you see the abundant grace? He says when you give abundantly, he says God is able to make all grace abound toward you.
That you always have all sufficiency.
Wait. Is this grace of salvation? Because you don't do anything to get the grace of salvation. But this grace, the Bible says, if you do this, God is able to make all grace come to you. Are you getting that? So this grace, which Paul is talking about, he's saying this one will come by what you have done. This is why some of us, we are busy giving to the poor. Doing this, doing charity, doing this, giving, doing this. Why? Because I understand the principle. The principle is so simple. It says if you give willingly to God, if you give abundantly, it says to whosoever gives abundantly, he will also receive the same manner. So giving, prayer can cause this type of grace. Now verse 8, read it properly in the Message translation. All right? And we're going to again to read it in TPT.
God can pour on the blessings in an astonishing way so that you are ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done.
You want to build a house? You will build it. You want to, he says, this is the level of grace and a blessing he gives you so that you are ready to do anything you want at any time. Now, read TPT. What does it say? Now, I want you to hear that.
Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace.
Do you understand?
So that you will have more than enough of everything. Every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do.
Why? Why? That's where the enemy will fight givers. Givers, let me say this to you. Givers, they go through a lot of financial attacks. Because what the enemy is fighting, it's not fighting their giving. He's fighting their psychological capacity. Once they begin to question, to say, but I've been giving, why am I passing through this? The devil says, that's it. We wanted you to do that. That's what happened with the Job. His own wife came and said, what? You've been a good man, but why are you passing through this? Am I talking to you? So in this moment, the enemy is raising up a psychological warfare. You must be very careful, because givers, they are people who invite abundance. Am I talking to somebody here? Givers invite what? Abundance. There are things which can happen to you by just what you do, by the giving you give. So I'm here, prophet. I prophesy in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing right now, whatsoever you're doing, anything you've ever given to God, may it activate abundant grace. And every prayer you have ever made before, wherever you are, every prayer you have ever made before, may it invite abundant grace. I declare abundant grace. I speak abundant grace. I announce abundant grace. Say in the name of Jesus. Stand up on your feet.